I am Pastor Richard. I serve with the English congregation. And if you would, you can reach into your bulletins and take out the sermon notes. They are in English only, though. We will have some translated passages up on the screen. But before I start, I want to say, Pastor Charles, that was a great children's message. That really was. You know, I haven't seen the new Star Wars yet, but somehow the image of Jesus and Yoda and the manger are somehow going to be entwined together, and I think you've ruined Star Wars for me. No. No. I think it's going to be enhanced quite a bit. But, you know, the jump from, you know, if you think about a baby being in a manger, it's really a foreign thought, you know, just having a baby in the middle of a dirty, smelly, unhealthy place. But really, if you understand it, it's a parable of a perfect, holy, loving, just God coming into our world, which for him is a completely foreign place. It's so broken by sin and unforgiveness and hatred. But for a perfect God to come and live among us is very much like a baby being born in a dirty, smelly manger. Let me open with prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are here and that you are knocking on the doors of many hearts today, not just in our church, but in churches across the world. And we pray that for those of us who know you, we would welcome you in for fellowship. And for those of you who are not yet at that place, that we might hear your voice and attend to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever fallen in love with something or someone? How far did you go to show that love? Well, one of my first loves was a used 1967 Pontiac Le Mans convertible. It is not the one that's in that picture. That is a picture of somebody's really nice version from the internet. My Pontiac Le Mans had a great engine, but was rusty, dented, and needed a new coat of paint. So, and that car was my very first car after I got my driver's license at age 16. So I spent my weekends learning how to work with Bondo or fiberglass, you know, to try to cover up some of the holes, and then I used many cans of spray paint to try to spray paint a new coat on the car, since I didn't know at the time how to be able to paint a car, which I did later on. And I even painted some racing stripes. And for those of you who are older, there's a show called Starsky and Hutch. I had stripes like Starsky and Hutch. If you haven't, go watch some old retro television show and you'll see it. So my car still looked trashy, but I polished it every Sunday and I loved her. Then came my first real girlfriend, Aileen, an athlete who matched me stride for stride, whether running or biking. I'd go to her house to help her family with chores like weeding and cleaning the house, just to be able to get on their good side. Her dad was an architect, so Aileen was somewhat of an artist. So that meant I had to work on my calligraphy skills whenever I sent her or her family holiday cards. You know, they had to be very, very nice. Trite and pedestrian were not in their vocabulary. And because Aileen was a tanned, outdoorsy type of girl, I worked hard at my tan every week. You know, this is when we were in Hawaii. And I even wore puka shell necklace, the puka shell surfer beads that she gave me, so I'd look more cool. And no, that is not me on the right-hand side of the picture. That's David Cassidy, the lead singer from the 1970s show The Partridge Family. Though I did wear my hair like that because Aileen liked it. So imagine me with hair like that. Not like now. What or who do you love? A boyfriend? A girlfriend? Your spouse? Your career, a house, a car, your children, knowledge, your friends, cooking, eating, books, God? How do you demonstrate that love for that thing or person? For most of us, we show our love by our attention and our time. We're not distant from those things that or those people that we love. We're right there alongside them, polishing, embracing, organizing, emotionally engaging, communicating, investing, enjoying. Sometimes we even dream about the things that we love. We often hear the phrase, God loves you. But do we really understand what that means? Do we grasp how he came, how far he came to show us his love? How far he came to show us how important each and every human being is, whoever existed and whoever will exist, how important they are to him. At Christmas time, we celebrate the fact that love came down to live among us, to give us a close-up look of God. God loved us so much that he took a giant leap from heaven to earth. Let's look at two scripture passages from God's Word which will help us better understand how God's love came down. The first is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This first verse describes what we know from all the Christmas stories. God joined hands with humanity by becoming a baby, experiencing birth to a humble Jewish family in a humble stable. But I want you to think about that for a moment. An infinite God reduced himself down to a fetus, which grew over 9 long months, into a baby ready to feel the crushing spasms of labor and delivery. Are you afraid of anything? Aside from a fear of heights, I am not fond of small, enclosed spaces. The thought of being enclosed in a small sack in my mother's womb for 9 months doesn't make me all warm and happy. If I were fully aware of my environment, which I probably wasn't while I was in there as a fetus, I'd have been terrified. Think about Emmanuel, God with us. God enters into conception and gestation with the full awareness of who he is, but at the same time, submitted to the limits of a human body. A timeless God enters time, enduring everything we endure because, simply, he loves us. Now, I've seen our two daughters born and watched them being pushed out by my wife, Debbie. If you'll just wave your hand for a moment, a little higher so they can see you. This is my wife. Without the help of any painkillers or surgeries. And as they were born, they were covered with mucus and blood. Naomi and Hannah didn't enter the world with angelic, placid looks. They were crying in pain and exhaustion. How far did Jesus come to show his love? He fully entered a personal, environmental, and spiritual world of pain. He wasn't above it all. He felt everything we feel. To me, that's one of the most mind-bending thoughts I could try to grasp. Now, if I look down at a nest of ants somewhere outside, and I want to communicate with them, it seems impossible to do so in a meaningful way. I'm just too big for them to fully comprehend. I could arrange food and sunshine and water, and that would be a good environmental way to bless them. But to truly show them individually how much I know and I love them, I would need to become an ant. I would need to enter their world. That is what the Almighty, infinite God did in coming to us. Love came down when Jesus entered into a human body to communicate his heart to us. He spoke our language. He entered into our challenges and our triumphs and our needs. Though he certainly could have written his love across the sky, which he does every sunrise and sunset, instead, he saw it as much more impactful and important that he write his love into our hearts. Second verse, John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Love came down not just to communicate with us or to experience pain alongside us, but to rectify a wrong, our spiritual separation from God, the source of all pain and hopelessness. God gave his only Son to all of us. He offered him because he loved us and wanted us to be with him forever. He created us to enjoy communion with him, to show us the music that we were meant to sing, the dance that we were meant to dance, the pure relationships we were meant to enjoy. Now, some diseases have successfully been cured by modern medicine. Among these are tetanus, rabies, polio, smallpox. If you or your loved ones were facing possible death from these diseases, it would be foolish to deny yourselves, to deny the evidence and the gift of life and health, which is freely available to you through a simple inoculation. There is a condition which every human on the face of the earth will face one day, and that is death. No one will escape it, and we don't have any kind of treatment which results in an immunity to death. When the infant Jesus came into adulthood, he fulfilled his ultimate purpose. He cured death. He faced, because of love, the death and justice that we deserve for trying to be our own gods. All sin has a death sentence attached to it. Only faith and God's forgiveness cleanses our spirits and opens the door to heaven. Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection on our behalf gives us a fully functional cure to death, unforgiveness, and hopelessness. And it would be foolish to think that we can cheat justice based upon our own efforts at holiness, especially when Jesus came to make it clear that he is the only holy one. He is the only cure to death and separation from God. The evidence that Jesus came to earth and rose from the dead is overwhelming. If we are willing to honestly look at the historical accounts, we will see that many things can be seen clearly. As a result of seeing the risen Jesus, Jewish Christians in the first century changed their day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. Independent historians validate that the early disciples almost all went to their deaths unwilling to recant their assertion that Jesus had risen from the dead and that he was alive in their hearts. An entire movement of Christians grew so rapidly that it eventually conquered the Roman Empire's pagan religion. And today, billions of followers of Jesus across the globe claim an intimate encounter with the risen Lord Jesus through their faith in him. So how do you meet and follow Jesus? How do you meet and follow this Jesus now? Let's look back at that verse again from 3:16. It says, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Believing is not just a mental agreement. Believing means complete trust and love in Jesus as the risen Lord and Savior of your life. It is an act of the heart and the will. Back in 2002, Debbie and I agreed to jump out of a plane with some friends from our church in Sacramento. And the first few jumps are usually done with an instructor. So that's me on the bottom, and that's the instructor on the top there. Now, I believed that parachutes worked, especially those I saw in movies or TV. But the difference is, this time, I was really going to have to trust that parachutes work. Do you remember what I told you earlier in the message about the things I most feared? What was the number one item on that list? Heights. That's right. Jumping out of that plane took a lot of faith for me, especially when I saw the fields down below us in Sacramento, 13,000 feet down. After exiting the plane, and moments later regaining my senses, I remember having a strange calmness while we hurtled down toward the ground at 32 feet per second per second. Now, it may not look like it, but I was praying. And I was thanking God at that moment in this picture, telling him that I was so glad that he had conquered death, and that if I was going to meet him in heaven soon, it would be okay. By the way, the end of this story is that I was supposed to pull the ripcord when the instructor held out his altimeter watch in front of me. He did that twice, but I didn't notice it because my eardrums were popping and the wind was in my face and I was just enjoying the view. And at that point, the instructor knew we were at the failsafe point. He pulled the ripcord because we would have gone straight through the ground if he had depended on me. Saving belief in John, as it's described in John 3:16, is the kind of abandoned faith that I had when we left the plane that day. To be saved and given eternal or bubbling over life now and into eternity means you must do A, B, C. A is to admit that I am a sinner and that I'm separated from God by my own self-righteousness, my acts, and my intentions, trying to be my own God. B is believe. Believe that Jesus came to save me from sin and death. He came here because he wanted to be here for each of us. And then C is commit. Commit myself to following Jesus as the King of my life. So if you are ready to have the most amazing forever Christmas present that you've ever known, I'm going to ask if you would pray after me, A, B, C. Admit, believe, commit. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and if that's what the prayer of your heart is, you have the opportunity now to come into a relationship with God, a God who will never abandon you. So please put your heads down and close your eyes. And you can just repeat after me the words I say or use words of your own. God, I admit I am someone who sins. And I admit I deserve death and separation from you. But I don't want that. I do believe that you came to live among us and to offer forgiveness for sins. I believe you are real. I put my trust in you. And right now, I commit myself to following you as Savior and Lord. Forgive all my sins, past, present, and future. Help me to live for you and you alone. And with your heads down and eyes still closed, one of the most important things you need to do if you have made that decision today you do need to acknowledge it before some other people. You can choose when to do that later. But right now, with everyone else's eyes down and heads down and eyes closed, I'm going to ask if you made that decision, you would just lift your hand and your eyes toward me just momentarily so I can see you. And I just want to pray for you. I see there. I see that. I see that. I see that there. Okay, I see you. Put your head down. Lord, for these few who have said yes to you, I pray your blessing upon their lives. And I pray that they will learn to walk with you day by day and follow you into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Famed Christian writer and Oxford professor C.S. Lewis once wrote, "The Son of God became a man that men might become sons of God." That is the heart of Christmas. Love coming down in the flesh. God coming down to be among us, to live inside each of us who accept him forever. Amen.